Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because at Lowe's, pros save big every day on the tool brands they use most, like DeWalt. Now you can get up to 50% off select power tool accessories, including the DeWalt Pro 80-piece screwdriver bit set, now just $29.98. That's $30 in savings. Plus, save time by ordering ahead online, and your order will be ready for pickup in-store. Stop by or visit lowesforpros.com for details. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 12/2 while supplies last. See store for details. U.S. only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie Fletcher. And let's get back to my little screen here. I got so many things going on this morning. How is everybody doing out there? How are you doing? A beautiful day in the neighborhood, as they can say. I thank God that we're up and running on a Saturday morning. Just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Interesting things that are happening, you know. The world may seem like it's in chaos, and things in your personal life may seem like it's out of order in some way, but just know you can't lose with Jesus. Can't. It's impossible. And that was just something that had been on my spirit and all last night in my praise and worship, and this morning it hit me. You cannot lose. How can you lose? You can't lose with Jesus. It's impossible. So let me bring Cynthia on. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. How are you doing today?
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. I have nothing
great
to complain about. Nothing.
That's what I'm talking about. Nothing. Everything is working according to the will of God. And you know, when you just sit back and relax, it's like having a chauffeur. You know, when you have a chauffeur, you can just chill in the back seat, and he's going to just give him the request. This is where I want to go. This is what I like to do. And he said, I got you. Just relax. And you just sit in the back seat. Just close your eyes and imagine. You're just sitting in the back seat. You have a chauffeur that cares about you, that's willing to take you wherever you want to go, as long as it's in the will of the Father. He's going to obey you as long as it's the right thing. So there you go. Take the ride. But before we get into all of this, would you like to do the prayer for us this morning, Cynthia?
Absolutely. Good morning, Heavenly Father. We come thanking you, Father God, for your mercies. Thank you, Father God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a choice, Father God, and I choose right now in this moment to say thank you. It's a choice to be glad in whatever you allow. It's a choice to be glad in times of uncertainty and times of greatness. And my son brought it to me quite clearly, Father God. He tells and he says that we're not to get too excited about what we perceive to be good, just as we're not to get too excited about what you allow in our lives, life happenings. It's not if life is going to happen, it's when life is going to happen. And you have to choose in those moments to do what you suggested that us do in order that we are okay in every moment of the life. Trust you. Don't get too excited about anything, but only trust. Trusting Father God and a Father who holds the world in his hands. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but because we know who holds tomorrow, we can trust you, Father God. And we come trusting, continue to trust you on this journey. But Father God, it is simply that, a journey to be walked out every day, trusting you, not in the things that we have or the people around us, but simply trusting you. And we thank you, God, that we are trusting you in this day and this moment. We thank you, Father God, for Dr. Fletcher and her obedience. And as she and I and the rest of the team continue to listen for you and to the Holy Spirit, we will be glad in all that you allow. But Father God, I thank you for such a gracious partner, business partner to work with, and the other two ladies that's on this team, Dr. Fletcher and Angie. I thank you, Father God, for your holy presence in all that we do. I thank you for this radio show. We thank you for our audience, Father God. We thank you for Deborah, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for those who will be listening today. We pray for Deborah in her absence. We pray that all is well and that she, too, have determined to be glad in it. And with saying all of that, Father God, we thank you for what will come across the airwaves. We pray that something will be said that will lead someone to you, because it's all about you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for choosing us for such an awesome task. And with all said and done, we say amen. Thank you, Papa.
Amen. Yeah, today is a great day. Yep, yep, yep. I tell you, it's beginning to feel like fall. It was kind of a cool day yesterday. I was like, look at this in August, you know, on those very, very hot days. But it's a good day. It's a good day to get started on what the Lord is asking us to do today. So I'm going to go into the word that the Lord placed on my heart, Cynthia. And then I'm going to come back and get your comments on it, okay? I'm going to make, I'll see. I can't say, I'm going to make mine quick, but I can't say that. I'll see what the Lord says, but then I'm going to come back for an open mic. We miss Deborah today. Audience, Deborah, like Cynthia said, she's taking some time off today, and we just thank her. We hope that she's having a wonderful, wonderful time wherever she's at. I forgot where she told me she was going, but I'm sure it's much needed, as we need a vacation too, Cynthia. I tell you, we're going to have to take a day off and do something. You know, go to the beach and sit and look at the water all day. So we're going to make that happen.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. I'll be right back, Cynthia. Thank you. All right, audience. This is a good day. You know, you hear the good, I'm telling you, it's like with the friend of ours was singing, he's a good father. And she made such an impression on it, Dr. Jean, that song has been in my head for the last 2 weeks. And I tell you, last night, that song just played and played and played. I woke up, I was singing it. I go back to sleep. I wake back up, I'm singing it. And I'm thinking, okay, I cannot, it seems to get the song out of my head. But the reference of it is that he is a good father. He is a good father. And you are loved by him. It's the word of God, which is the essence of the relationship, the faith and relationship you should have with you and God. You should know that he's your father. He's a good father. Because if you're breathing, he's a good father. If you are laid in to rest, he's a good father. If you are headed to hell, he's still a good father. If you're headed to heaven, he's still a good father. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's not going to change. He's a good father. And nothing that you do can change that. The thing that you want to do is to be a good daughter, a good mother, a good son, a good father. Because you're loved by him. And because he loves you, you should want to just think about it. Someone love you. Someone give you as much as God gave you, his only begotten son. I mean, his life to cover you, to make sure you are saved from hell and a lake of fire. I mean, that alone, you should praise him. That alone, you should say thank you. Every time you think about it, it should just run something all over your body. You should just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And at 12 midnight, it rolls right at 11:59. It rolls into 12 a.m. You got a new day. Most people think when they get up in the morning, that's the beginning of the day. No, your day started at 12 a.m., midnight. That's when the blessings was replenishing, a newness came upon you. And most people are sleeping when that rolls around. So when you wake up, the first thing you should do is thank him because he has allowed the blessings to flow, the blessings of life. So again, good morning, and I have good news for you, the mothers and daughters around the world. And we welcome you, audience. We know that we cannot do this by ourselves. It's a team effort, and it's not just me and Cynthia and Deborah and Angie or Frida when she comes on. It's not just the few people that come by and stop in and have a conversation with us. It's about you as the audience. You are the people that we don't even know, haven't seen, and maybe haven't heard from. I see numbers, but that numbers don't mean anything to me. We want you to know that we appreciate you, because our job is to come on Saturday morning and preach the good news. That's what we do. You know, it dawned on me that everybody has a platform. And as an ordained minister, you know, sometimes people would ask me, are you going to open up a church? And I'm like, no, God didn't ask me to do that. And just last week I was doing something. I think I was listening to Joel, Pastor Joel. And someone just said, that's your platform on Saturday morning. That's how you preach the gospel to the world. Everybody has a different method. Some people on the street. Some people are working in situations, clinics, colleges. You know, we minister wherever we are. And this has happened to be one of the platforms in which we minister on Saturday morning. It's no different than getting up, going into a building on Sunday morning and preaching the same one-hour sermon. But the good news is to this, you get to participate if you want, so that we can listen and see what the Lord says, and you can ask questions. But the most times on radio, it's a commentary. Most people are so used to listening because most radio programs are not live. So they're very comfortable with listening, and we're very comfortable and pleased that you are listening any way you want to listen. Because I believe when you, whoever listens to this program, they are going to get something. If not a message for themselves, they're going to get a message for someone they know. The Holy Spirit is not speaking through us on Saturday morning to make it null and void. I believe that. So I say thank you. I appreciate you. And just want you to know, we know that you're there. And we appreciate you for taking your time out on Saturday morning to join us as well. And I know I speak for me and Cynthia. Okay? Our program is based on the Word of God, and we come from Ezekiel 16:44, where God says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. We haven't said that in a while. But basically, you know, we throw that out there and then we talk about it so that you will know, mother, it's a lot of responsibility on you. The responsibility is on you. You can't put the responsibility on the daughter because who came first, the mother or the daughter? So the one that came first, of course, going to have more life experience, more wisdom, and should have more understanding than the one that comes after. And the one that comes after surely is going to be at least 14 years, you know, younger. We're hoping older, you know, like the mother is 18 or 20. So you're talking about 18 to 20 years younger than the mother. So look at the amount of experience that you have, mother, before you even will God allow you to bring forth a child into this world. You have a lot of time of training, a lot of time, a lot of life experience. And I don't think sometimes we look at that. And that's why I tell my daughter, you know, there's 21 and a half years difference between us. And it's always going to be 21 and a half years. I could be 90. It's still going to be 21 and a half years. And she's still going to be younger than me. And I'm still going to be the mother. She's never going to catch up. That's just one thing you're just not going to do. You're not going to catch up. So, again, for the newcomers coming on, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting at the round tables with mothers and daughters around the world with our co-host, Cynthia Oliver. And we are going to talk to you today about a stimulating topic, which is mothers, if you quit, you set your daughters up for failure. That's right. Mothers, if you quit, you set your daughters up for failure. And some mothers might say, well, how is that up for failure? Come on. Just think about it. If you said that or thought that, I want you to just stop and sit down and write that out. And then I want you to look at it later and think about it. How did I set my daughter up for failure? I just told you. There's a certain amount of years between you and your daughter. She's never going to catch up to your age and your life experiences. It's impossible. God didn't design it that way. It's like you. You're never going to be the age of your mother. You're never going to catch up. She's always going to have more wisdom. Now, you got a praying mother? I'm telling you, you got to go some. Because she's always going to have all those years and her relationship and her wisdom and understanding is going to be great. And now you've got someone that's going to pour that back into you. So while we're talking this morning, you might want to text your friends and call them at three and ask them to call in 347-539-5078, 347-539-5078, and click one and to listen to the program. You know, I know people say, well, you know the number, you call in on the number, but there's a lot of people that are listening on the internet. So just in case, I need to get that number out every once in a while. Again, our stimulating topic this morning is mothers, if you quit, you set your daughters up for failure. You're responsible. I will go as far as to say that. You are responsible for your children. There's no way you can get around it. What about the daddy, Dr. Bessie? Oh, yeah, the daddy has a responsibility. The daddy is the provider. The daddy was not chosen to nurture. You can't nurture the children like the mother does because you are designed to nurture the child. You have 9 months. Just you and the child. 9 months. Daddy has, he can talk to the child through your stomach. He can rub through your stomach. He can do all he wants to do, and that's a good thing. I think it's the right thing to do. But when someone is growing inside of you, you're connected. The same foods that you eat, the nourishment that you take into your body goes into that body. The thoughts that you have in your mind goes into the mind of the baby. The attitude that you display goes into the baby. Everything to set up the temperament of that child comes through that mother. That 9 months is crucial to the temperament of that child when that child enters into the earthly realm. And then you wonder why she's crying. You wonder why she's not sleeping. You wonder why she's just irritable. I tell you, mothers, as I tell so many mothers, look back at your 9 months. That will show you who you were, and then you can mirror that to that child. You're peaceful. You're happy. You're enjoying life. And you set the temperament for the child. So that's all I'm going to say on that. I think that's enough. So as I say, get your pen and paper and your favorite drink and sit back and relax. And then we're going to see what the Holy Spirit is saying about our topic this morning. I don't pick topics, you know. The Holy Spirit picked them. And I'm glad, because I don't know what to say to you. I don't know who's out there, and I don't know what your needs are. You know, the Holy Spirit is the only one that knows that. He knows exactly who's listening to this program, and he knows exactly what he wants to say to them. So, audience, when you hear us talking, know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You will know that because you'll feel it inside of your spirit. Something will nudge you, and you'll say, wow, and you get that peace. You know, everything that we say may not be just for you, but think there's more people listening than you, but you're going to get something. I just believe that. There's no way in the world that you can listen to this program and you don't get a nudge from the Holy Spirit. So, and if you want to contact me, you can contact me at DrBessie1, that's DrBessie, the number 1, at gmail.com. DrBessie, the number 1, at gmail.com. So last week, our stimulating topic was mothers and daughters, finish what you started. And we spent the majority of the time last week on talking about the graduation and how that was the theme of the graduation. It was a common thread from the beginning to the end. The keynote speaker, the valedictorian, Cynthia and myself, Dr. Jean, everybody was speaking in the same vein of finishing what you started. Because we know when we're talking about graduation, we're not talking about, you know, any graduation is a wonderful success because you have finished something that you started. But to women that are in prison, to have to work, to have to come back, to have to deal with a lot of women and a lot of different attitudes, have to follow instructions to the letter so that you don't be written up, and to study and pass your test and do what you need to do to finish a college degree, I think that is exceptional. And that's what we experienced last week. And that's what we mostly spend our time on last week, just celebrating that moment. That wasn't an easy thing for Cynthia and myself and my daughter to come together and put together a Bible college. It wasn't an easy thing. So, but the strength of God, it goes to show you all things are possible through God. And that's all I'm going to say about that today. And we're going to give you some updates next month on when we finish the planning and procedure on how you can get your degree, how you can go back and pick up where you stopped. With whatever credits you have, it can be 10 years or longer. If you have it and you can prove that you have it, we'll take them and you can start where you stopped, and we'll move forward. So that brings us to this week's stimulating topic for today. Mothers, if you quit, you set your daughter up for failure. Now, most of you know that I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and basically I deal with mothers and daughters that are dealing with issues. They have, you know, sometimes people may say, and I've heard people say, oh, that's so simple, you know, get over it, move on. It's not that simple. You can't tell a person to get over something and just move on because you don't know how they're processing internally. You don't know the intra-conversations and the battle within those intra-conversations that they're dealing with. Nobody knows that but the person in God. And whenever they decide to share what's going on in their head, whoever they're sharing it with, They're looking for someone to just listen. You don't need to give advice. You don't need to try to tell them that they're right or wrong. They don't need to hear that. What they are saying is, I'm having some difficult intra-conversations in my head, and I just need someone to listen to see if I'm insane. That's all that I do when I have a mother and daughter or just an individual come to me, and it's just, you know, I need someone to talk to. That's what we do. I listen. I listen. We get to the point of what is going on, let them spill it out, and then we go back and we break it down and said, okay, let's get to what happened, because something happened. And that one thing that happened is the core of the buildup. It's like you have a small round ball, and you take it and you go out in the snow and you roll it 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 and you roll it, and all of a sudden you got a big ball of snow. But it's all based around that one little ball that you started rolling. And then you go and you get another one and you roll it and you stack it on top of that one. And then you get another one, you stack it on top of that one. And when I say stack on, I'm talking about years and layers and layers and layers of things. But until you get back to that one thing, which was that little small ball, from the very beginning, the core of it, it's going to be difficult, gee, trying to figure out who you are and what you're about. You'll feel lost. You'll feel confused. You'll feel anxious. You'll have outbursts. You'll just want to lash out at the world because you are so really disgusted with who you are, because you can't figure out why you're not comfortable and have this peace within. Why am I angry? Why am I upset? Why? Because something happened in your life and you want to get back to that. And when you can get back to that core and identify that core, then it all melts away. It's like the snow. It will melt away and you will see it very clearly. And once you can identify it, then it's an aha moment. But how do we get to that point? Somewhere along the line, there was a disconnect in communication in your mother and daughter relationship. Every woman has the ability to nurture. You have the ability to nurture. How are you going to nurture? Are you going to nurture with a strong arm or a snappy tone or impatient or an attitude, as most people say? We know attitude can be defined so many different ways. It's the word that I tell people that have a million or more definitions, because when a person can't understand something, the word that they pick up is attitude. She has an attitude. And really, all you're saying is, I don't understand her behavior. I don't understand what she's saying. I don't understand why she's saying it that way. I don't understand why she's walking like she's walking. And everything to make yourself feel good, you'll say that the person have an attitude. But in essence, you don't really know what the word attitude means, because you put attitude on everything. You put attitude on talk. You put attitude on walk. You put attitude on just sitting, not saying nothing. What's wrong with you? You got an attitude? No. What? You know, attitude. That is a simplified word when you don't know what you want to know. Because you really want to know why the person's acting the way they are. And when they don't explain it to you, then you say they have an attitude. But in reality, they don't know themselves. You see? So, mother, when you are mothering, somewhere along the line, a disconnect happens. It could have been when the daughter was 3 years old. She could have heard you saying something to somebody about her. You know, this girl is something else. I tell you, she gets on my nerves. I'm so glad. I'd be glad at night when she go to bed at 8 o'clock. I'm so waiting on 8 o'clock. Oh, my God. I can't wait to give her that bath and put her behind in the bed. Hello? She heard you. She's saying to herself, well, she doesn't love me. She just wants me to go to bed. So every night the baby's going to bed, she's 3 years old, and she's laying there thinking to herself, Mommy don't want me to be around her. Mommy just wants me to go to bed at 8 o'clock. So every day she's processing, Mommy not happy till I go to bed at 8 o'clock. Now this is going to grow up, and yes, you all are talking, but there's a disconnect because she's never going to be close to you. She's because she's got this intra conversation going in her head that you're happier when she's in bed than when she's around you. See, I'm just using this as an illustration because we don't know what's going on in a child's mind. And that's why I tell you, mothers, when you see your children acting differently or shutting you out at a young age, that's when you stop and you stop, drop, and roll, as they say. And don't move until you get an answer. What is it? What's wrong? You got to assure that child that they can tell you anything and that you will listen. And you can't react and you can't spank them or punish them when they tell you. Because if you do that, you've just broken that trust. You can tell Mommy, whatever you tell me, I will listen. I'm not going to punish you. I want you to be honest, and we'll talk it through. Now, the child will test you, and the minute she tests you and you lie and go back on your word, no matter how bad it is, you've got to grit your teeth and hold your tongue and say nothing and smile, because if you break that bond, she'll grow up to be 7, she'll be 12, she'll be 15, and oh, each as those years roll by, she's measuring you according to that one thing that happened. And then when she's 20-something, like, I just want to, you know, 18, I just want to leave here. I want to go. I want my own space. I don't want to live in this house. Why would a child want to run away from a good thing? If your child is anxious to leave home, you better believe it's not a good thing. I had a mother to call me once, and that mother called me and she said, you know, I heard about you, and a friend told me to give you a call. You work with her and her daughter. She said, my daughter is going away to college, and I don't want her to go away to college with the relationship that we have now. I'm afraid that it's going to get even worse and I'll lose her. Now, this was the summer. This was in May. They just got out of school. And she was going to college in August. She said, I know we haven't had a good relationship. I know we've fought a lot and all that. She said, but it scares me to death to know that she won't be in this house. And she may shut me out, and I don't want that. We started sessions, and I'm telling you, by the time that daughter went to school and they drove her up there, she was calling home, talking. They had the best relationship now. And you know, it's only because we had to get to what happened. And what I tell you is, mothers, that you have an intro conversation. Let me explain what intro conversation is. I'm talking as if you know. A lot of the audience do know, but then we have new people too. The intro conversations are those ongoing conversations in your head, ones that you keep to yourself. You don't want to tell nobody. You just keep trying to, you know, the conversations are going. You got the good conversation and you got the negative conversation and one trying to win over the other. And you're fighting back and forth to make a decision on something. And the conversations, oh, you know, I wouldn't do this if I was you because, you know, blah, 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 blah. Another one, you know in your spirit that's the wrong conversation. But yet, sometimes we get caught up in the flesh and the flesh gets angry. And when it gets angry and you get an attitude, as we call it, you know, you say, oh, well, I don't care what she thinks. She don't like me. You know, we define that as an attitude. Undescribed behavior. So I'm just going to go on and keep my mouth closed, and I'm not going to say anything. but yet you're saying a lot because your body language is speaking out, and it drives the person insane because the person don't understand what's going on. They don't know why you're sending up this negative energy. See, everything is about energy. I don't care when you think you can hide something from somebody, you can't, because the energy will disclose there's something going on about you. And that's why people use the word attitude, because they're trying to define it in some way. So, mothers, when you thinking that you don't have to clarify or you don't have to share with your daughter what you're going through, what's happening with the finances, she doesn't know. She just feels that there's a negative energy around you. And then when she comes to you to say something to you and you snap her off and say, I don't have time, I don't want to deal with it, get away from me. Look, I had a hard day today, and I don't want to deal with this today. And she's like, well, okay. Well, now you just shut her down, and so now it's going to be very hard for her to come to you. So when she needs to talk to someone, she's going to go to her friends who what? Are the same age, don't have no more wisdom and understanding than she has, according to the years. And then if you're not careful, they'll be tall, dark, and handsome, and he'll have a few years on her, and he'll discover, because he can pick up on that energy, that she's confused, well, let me help her out. And by the time he gets through talking to her, making her feel like she's a beautiful woman, and, you know, he can help her, and, you know, don't worry about it, I got you. Yeah, okay, he does. And then you realize, oh, no, you're not coming up in here with my daughter. Well, you know what? She's already hooked. Now you got a hard time to take that hook out of her nose to get you trying to reel her back in when somewhere along the line you let it go too long. So when you see something is wrong, you have to stop and give it your attention. So, mothers, how do all of that roll back into our topic this morning? Mothers, if you quit, you set your daughter up for failure. Because somewhere along the line, you quit being a mother. You quit being that mother that you were when the baby was born and the doctor put that baby in your arm. Somewhere along the line, your job came to be important. Somewhere along the line, the church came to be important. Somewhere along the line, your children, your friends became important. Somewhere along the line, this man became important. Somewhere along in the line, you just gave up because you couldn't get your goals and what you want. So you decide, well, I'll just smoke me some herb and relax because I just need to chill out and see, and then I just figure out what's going on in my head. And then the next thing somebody says, well, you know, man, you need to take it up to the next notch. And then you get involved with harder drugs. And then, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's just go on and let's make some money off of this because we can make some money. And, you know, hey, we can live the life. I put you guys up, I set you up, and you just go sell it and bring it back to me. And the next thing you know, you're in prison and you got to work off that time. And you come back and you think, Lord, if you let me get out of here, I'm going to be okay because I'm going to go back and I'm going to serve you and I'm going to do this. And God, gee, I'm going to get my children. You don't have to worry about me. Lord, if you just give me another chance, I promise you I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. I will not go back into that world. And then you get out and you go right back. You wait a few weeks, some of you, but then you end up right back to those friends because you never got to the core. You never got to the core of that thing that happened. And that's what I tell people when I'm in counseling. If you listen, if you do, and if you follow through, you'll get there. But if you quit in the middle of the session, if you quit, you'll never get there. It's like starting all over again. You have to do the work. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've never lost a client, never, because the Holy Spirit works. But I can't do the work for you. So mothers and daughters, when you are out there, it's a simple procedure. You have to make a decision. I am ready to change my life. That's the I can't do that for you. So mothers, when you quit, you set your daughter up for failure because she's looking at you from afar. If you're talking about doing something and you're talking about doing something and you're talking about doing something, then what? When your daughter grows up, she's going to talk about doing something and talk about doing something and quit every time. Because all the talk and no action, you've quit. I've known people talk about, I'm going to write this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to publish this and I'm going to do a workshop. They want to do it. They have not seen a model that would help them complete it. They haven't seen you complete something. And I'm not saying that for every mother. Some mothers, you go out and you complete and your daughter don't. Why? We still have to get back to what happened. Somewhere along the line, she lost faith. She is not coming to you and letting you in on how to help her. She's reserving something. There's a reason. And you need to know that. And nothing in the world is more important than your daughter, your son, because you are responsible for them. So to quit is to give up in some way. To quit is to stop. To quit is to refrain from something. To quit is to renounce it. To quit is to leave it. To quit is to walk away from it. To quit is to abandon it. You need to ask yourself, have I done any of these things with my children and my behavior? Was I too busy? Did I quit in some way? Did I break down in some way? Did I become malfunction in some way? Did I crash, just pew, or collapse? Failure. We are the image of God. And you say, well, how has that got to do? Why would we fail? Because in Ezekiel 16:44, God is showing you where the breakdown come in at. He said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Ezekiel 16:44. Because see, it's the God, it's God, it's the mother, and then it's the daughter. So the mother needs to be in the image of God in order for the daughter to be like the mother. So if the mother's not in the image of God, it's going to be very hard for the daughter to follow. Someone else is going to have to come across her path. God will send someone else across her path. When the mother fails, he'll send you another earthly mother. He'll send you a teacher. He'll send you somebody that will help you. And then you got a chance to look back at Ezekiel 16:44 and say, as is the mother, so is her daughter. He didn't say, as is the birth mother, so is her daughter. So I'm always talking to mothers that are surrogate or mothers that are adopted children or just helping children. What do you call it? I can't even think of it right now. It'll come back to me. The word just went out of my head. But you're acting as the mother. Then God chose you as that mother because he's expecting you to do what their mother didn't do. So that's a lot of responsibility because now you got God, you got the mother, and then you got the mother that God has chosen, the adopted mother, and then you got the child. And so somebody's got to have that image. God is dependent on us as mothers to get this done because he wants us to raise up a whole new generation. He's not going to give you children for you to destroy them. I mean, he might as well keep them in heaven. He's looking to raise up a whole new generation, and in order to do that, it's got to be the nurturing spirit of the mother. So Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is his daughter. Yes, they talk about some extreme situations, the negative. A daughter sleeping with a mother's husband, a sister's husband. You know, he's giving you the extreme. But where does she get that from? As is the mother, so is the daughter. I didn't write it. And I'm still working with clarity on it because it's so deep and it's so broad. But in the new Good News translation, it says, Ezekiel 16:44, it says, the Lord said, people will use this proverb about you, Jerusalem, like mother, like daughter. They're going to use this proverb against you, as is the mother, so is the daughter. They're going to use it against you. How many times have we been hearing it for years? I didn't even know it was in the Bible for years. But I've always heard, especially guys, man, you know a mother? Hey, you know what you're getting? Because she's just like her mother. She's going to be like my man. You see a mother? You marry that daughter, now you're marrying that mother. She's just like a mother. And, of course, we've heard that on the other side. You're just like your daddy. Mothers will tell their sons, you're just like your daddy. And most of the times when people say that, they don't say it in a loving way. They say it with a negativity to it. You're just like your daddy, your old daddy. So the New American Standard Bible says, behold, everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this proverb concerning you, saying, like mother, like daughter. The one I like the best is King James Version. It says, behold, everyone that uses Proverbs shall use this Proverbs against you, against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Mothers, God selected you for the daughter that he wanted to deliver into the earth through you. He selected you, mother, to deliver that daughter into the earth. And he has expectations from you on how you are to raise that daughter. And notice that I said his daughter. Now I'm going to go to the switchboard. Cynthia, if you can click one for me, please. Anybody want to talk, click one. It's his daughter. It's not even your daughter. You know, we get so confused and then we get personally hurt because we think it's my daughter and she should be doing what I want her to do. No, it's God's daughter. He just selected you to bring that daughter into the earth. And you should be honored and pleased that he selected you for that. But he's expecting you to raise that daughter according to his will. It's you, it's God, and it's your daughter. You in the middle, mother. Good morning, Cynthia, again.
Thank you for bringing me back in. Dr. Fletcher, such a interesting subject matter. And before you brought it all back around with regards to explaining quitting, what I had written down or typed in was how does the discussion that you had that you were expounding on with regards to the question quitting what? My takeaway from it is that what happens is that there's a huge or a major data gap that results as a result of a mother quitting. But what is she quitting? Like you said, whatever God has called us, when God has given us children, God says children are a gift to us. And if they quit being a mother, and that's exactly what happens, when you have been given a responsibility of a child and you have quit in any aspects of nurturing that child, you have created that major data gap between you and that child, and you are the ones who create that disconnect. That disconnect is major. If a child cannot depend on you to nurture her, like you said, tall, dark, and handsome will pick up where you left off. And it is not going to go well for that child when she does not feel that she is loved by her mother. Mm-hmm. Anything will go and anything will come in because she's trying to, and she wants, and I can't even imagine a person not wanting to be their best. But when that mother creates that disconnect, because she has quit in some way, because she has given up in some way, because life is happening. And you said it again. God is going to hold her responsible, whether she gave birth to that child or God has put that child in her responsibility. And she didn't give birth. Nevertheless, a child is a gift from God. If you're portraying to be someone's surrogate mother, or you pretending to be a foster mom, or whatever your role is, and you don't nurture that child the way that God will have you to, because like Dr. Fletcher said, every woman has been given that ability to nurture, because that's who God created women to be, the nurturers of families and children, then you have quit in some way. And it's not going to be an excuse that you didn't know, because you're responsible for learning how to be responsible for what God equips you to do and what God has given you. And so do you know that, audience, I want to just pose a startling statistics for you. 2% of women in state prison and 56% of female inmates in federal prison are parents of minor children. And what is happening when you are separated from that child because of incarceration? You have created a disconnect. You have created a major gap in that child's life. And nothing will catch them up to you. Unless you get clear and you get clean and you go back to nurture that child. Yeah, you can't go back for where you left off, but you can pick up in that instant of being released and being the best person that you need to be in order to make things right with that child. That's a huge number. It don't sound like a huge number, 42%, 62%, but it's huge when it comes to raising children and children failing, because that child has a huge chance of being on that same prison chair that you're on, because you have failed them. And when we fail children, as the mother, so is the daughter, so is the child. God says it in Scripture, like Dr. Fletcher says, we didn't write it. It's in there for a reason. And for you fathers, as the boy child does what the father do, so he's paying attention to what you are doing or not doing. You have failed that child as well. And your son has a huge chance of being on that prison chair just like you. We have a huge responsibility, mothers and fathers. And when we quit in life, I asked that question when Dr. Fletcher was doing the commentary. What does the discussion have to do with quitting? Anytime we give up on life, we have quit in some way. And if children are involved, we have failed the next generation. And God is holding us responsible for the lives of the children that he has imparted to us.
Okay.
That's my take on it.
What I want to do here, the question, what does the discussion have to do with the question? I don't do the discussion. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. There's somebody out there needed to hear whatever that was. I can't even go back now and tell you. I have to listen to the recording myself.
I got it.
Yeah, because my eyes always close, audience. When I'm sitting here talking on Saturday morning and the Holy Spirit starts speaking, my eyes are closed and my mouth will stop working. But what I want to say, too, I don't want you all to think that we are here preaching to the choir, preaching to you. We are also mothers, and we are non-perfect mothers. I've made mistakes. We all make mistakes as mothers. So we're not separating ourselves from you. Whatever the message is this morning is, like I tell you, I'm the student. You just listening to the lessons that I'm learning. Because not only am I a mother, I'm a grandmother. And now I have a great-grandson. And so he was about 3 months old. So I'm telling you, I have a great responsibility to try to be the best mother I can be. because I have the opportunity now to impart wisdom into their lives. So I work very hard at listening to my daughter and treating her like an adult, and I know she's a woman of God, and I thank God for that, but I'm transferring this into my grandchildren. You know, I'm working very hard at it, even when I know that I have to come and I have to be on my knees all the time and asking God, you know, Lord, if I've done something, said something, please forgive me. You know, don't beat yourself up. That's why I like David, because David was quick to go back to God and say, repent. So wherever you are right now, if this message touched you in some way and the enemy trying to make you think, oh, they talking about you, no, it's the Lord maybe nudging on you for something. That's how we learn. When you go to church and the pastor say something, I've heard people come out and say, oh, man, he walked all over my toes today. There were thousands of people in there, but you felt something, because that's the Holy Spirit trying to say you need to work in that area. We all get that feeling. That's how we know when we're going in the wrong direction. So just go to God. Just ask Jesus to forgive you and know that's all you can do, and start all over again. But one key thing, Cynthia, to this thing is communication. You can ask God to forgive you, and you can forgive yourself, but somehow or another, clarity is not going to come in the play until you have a conversation with your daughter and say to her, first of all, I tell the mother, you need to apologize to the daughter. That's the very first thing. Once you've gone to God, once you clean up yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry, help me, I repent, I didn't do it right. This can happen on any situation. Someone you're not getting along with, someone done said something, you said something, you're not speaking or whatever. I mean, just go to God, clean it up. I do it all the time. But then you got to have that conversation for clarity. If they don't want to listen, write them a letter. Make sure that you get it out. But you got to go to your daughter and apologize. And then you got to ask her, what is it that you felt that I've done that disconnected us? And shut your mouth and let her talk. I want to hear, because I know whatever it is, I'm responsible for it. I'm responsible. I'm the mother. So I want to know what made you feel that the disconnect, how it, you know, you got to bring this conversation in there and give her a chance to have that conversation. And I guarantee you it'll end up in tears. You'll have a breakthrough. But whatever you do at that moment and whatever comes out of that communication, you got to do better from that moment on. You got to do what you told them you're going to do.
And Dr. Fletcher, because I came from the perspective, I'm sorry, I thought you were finished, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I came from the perspective of incarceration, because that's the population that we work with, audience. So Dr. Fletcher is, and I can't speak for Dr. Fletcher, but her discussion has to do with the results of what happens to children when we fail in whatever area. Because, like Dr. Putt said, it's all about that communication. When children feel unsafe and they don't feel that they can come to us because we've shut them down, as Dr. Fletcher said, so many times. Oh, I had a disconnect with my son, Brian. Absolutely. And so I was wondering why he don't call me. That's because I quit on him, even in carrying him. And I got to make that clear. I couldn't wait to, like Dr. Putt said, I couldn't wait to have him. I couldn't wait to be done with that pregnancy. And I wonder why he cried at the end, his first year, every day, all day. I promise you, I had to go back and clean up some stuff. And I ain't never been to prison a day in my life. But there was a huge disconnect between my child and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I quit on him, because I didn't want to be pregnant. I didn't want another child.
Mm-hmm. And see, he was involved in your intra conversations, even in your
absolutely
wound. He felt you. How many times have I heard this from parents? You know, I didn't want to have a daughter. And that's why the disconnect came, because she didn't want to have a daughter, and the daughter knew that within the womb. And so when she came out, this lady said to us, she said, when the baby was born and the doctor laid the baby on my stomach, so that tells me what? She wouldn't take the baby in her arms. The doctor laid the baby on my stomach. She said, I looked at the baby looked at me, and I knew it was going to be war. Every mother in there almost passed out. You know, like, what? And I took her. And you should see mothers grabbing hold to their daughters. This is one of the mother and daughter workshops I was having. But I'm telling you, you're not alone. You're not the first mother. You're not the only mother that's going through. We're just here to say you can turn it around. And you can turn it around now.
You can.
Just by repenting. And I'm telling you, God will walk you right on through it.
Absolutely.
Ahead,
and He turned it around for me and my baby. Because He is the sweetest. He has the oh my God, he has the sweetest temperament. Dr. Fletcher is just here with me. And our relationship hugs and kisses the Lord.
Yeah, he told himself. Yeah, he's just a sweetheart. He got tired. He said, I'm going home. He works at Disney as a character. So he said, I'm going home. And I'm telling you, that boy came home and he slept. He laid on that couch and he slept all day just about. I said, Lord, look at it. He weren't
but
some nurturing. He came home.
To participate with us in what we were doing with the graduation.
Yeah.
Despite the fact he came home to rest, he and I have such a beautiful relationship now, audience, all because I went back and cleaned it up. That's all.
Yeah.
And I became, I at some point, I realized what I had done. And I even had to apologize to my children several times because I wasn't the best mother when I was in my 20s, even in my 30s. It didn't happen until I got a master's degree in psychology. It was cheap therapy for me, audience.
All right. Hold on. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show, ladies. We hope that you will take this information, digest it, share it with someone else. Tell other people to go and listen to the radio show. It's there. They can pick up on it. All right, Cynthia, thank you very much. It was a nice show. Thank you, audience, for joining us. We love you. Have a great, great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Are you prepared to navigate today's bond markets for your clients? With decades of experience, MFS has helped advisors uncover fixed income investment opportunities through volatile markets. Learn more at MFS.com.
Why does Hardee's make biscuits from scratch? Because it's what we were born to do. That's right. As newborns, we started making biscuits for our delicious 2 for $4 mix and match. Talk about proud parents.
Hardee's because it tastes better.
Offer available for a limited time during regular breakfast hours at participating Hardee's restaurants. Price and participation may vary. Tax not included.